why he wrote the book, this epistle of 1 John. So what a blessing. We'll start there in verse 12 of 1 John chapter 2. The Bible says, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. So you can see that common phrase. That's my title. I write unto you because. Let's pray. Lord, give us your wisdom. Use your word in our hearts this evening. We thank you for the privilege to be here and love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So again, John is revealing to us why he wrote the book. He starts off by saying, little children. It's a very common phrase John uses in this epistle. He uses it at least 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 times. Little children. He's talking about the fact that we're now new believers in Jesus Christ. And we are God's children. But sometimes we're little children. Sometimes we're not as mature as we should be in our faith. Sometimes we're not where we need to be in our Christian walk. And that's what John is implying there, that we're little children and God wants us to grow up. But the great truths that he's revealed here in these other verses are exciting for us as Christians and again reveal why he wrote the book. So he starts off in verse 12 by saying, your sins are forgiven. Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, our sins are forgiven. John is saying, I'm writing to you because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. If it wasn't for this truth, we wouldn't have Christianity. We wouldn't have any hope of heaven. The fact that our sins have been forgiven through Jesus Christ, our Savior. As we know, the Bible says in Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none under the name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Our sins have been forgiven. Look over in chapter 5, verse 13. Probably the key verse of the book of 1 John. 1 John 5:13, where he explains the overall purpose of writing the book. He says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. That's great. That you may know that you have eternal life. We know that our sins are forgiven because of God's Word, and we've believed it and trusted Jesus Christ, and we know because of that, that we have eternal life. So the first thing that he reveals in this passage is, you can know, as believers in Jesus Christ, that your sins are forgiven. Secondly, in verse 13, I write unto you, fathers, because you've known him that is from the beginning. So not only can we know that our sins are forgiven, but we can know because of his word that we know him. You say, well, of course we know that. But Jesus said, look at Matthew 7, that if we don't know him, that we'll be cast into hell. It's a very interesting passage here in Matthew 7, verse 22. Most of you probably know it. He says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Notice that phrase, I never knew you. John is saying, I write unto you because you have known him. We know that we know him because of his word. And he repeats that for us. Go back to 1 John, this time chapter 5, where again, why did John write the book? To give us these assurances of our salvation, that our sins are forgiven, that we have eternal life, and that we know Jesus. Praise God, we know Jesus. Notice 1 John 5:20. We know that the Son of God has come and hath given us understanding that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. So notice John is saying He has come, He's given us an understanding that we may know Him. The Apostle Paul said in Philippians 3:10, one of his desires, he says, that I may know Him and the fellowship of His sufferings. If you're born again, you know Jesus. He's a joint heir. He is our Savior. He's our friend. And praise God for that truth. So, first thing He reveals in this passage is, number one, our sins are forgiven. Number two, we know Jesus. Number three, verse 13, He says, because you've overcome the wicked one. So, that's great news. Not only that we know our sins are forgiven and that we know Jesus, but we've actually overcome the devil. Think about what He's saying there. You've overcome the wicked one. Well, how's that? Well, look at chapter 4, verse 4. The Bible says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Why have we overcome the wicked one? Because of who now lives in us. Jesus. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Now look at chapter 5, verse 4. The Bible says, verse John 5, 4, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So John is encouraging us as God's children. We can know because of God's Word that our sins are forgiven, that we know Jesus, that we have overcome the devil. If we've overcome the devil, are we supposed to fear the devil? The Bible says no. Now we're supposed to be sober and vigilant and watching out for the devil. Never are we told to fear the devil. We're told to fear the Lord. Because we've overcome the devil through the one who indwells us, the Lord Jesus Christ. Then he goes on to say in verse 14, I've written unto you, young men, because you are strong. So John is saying, I wrote unto you because you can know some things. You can know that your sins are forgiven. You can know that you have eternal life because your sins are forgiven. You can know that you know Jesus. You can know that you've overcome the devil. But he says, you're strong. You know, that's God's will for all of us. That once we have this grounding, once we know we're saved, once we know our sins are forgiven, once we know we have victory, God wants us to be strong. Now, we can't be strong on our own. The Bible says in Ephesians 6:10, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. We're nothing of ourselves. We're just sinners. But in God, we are strong. Because He is strong. He's the strong man. And so God wants us to be strong in our faith. Go to Hebrews chapter 5 and we'll see God's explanation about this maturity that He wants. This strength that He wants us to have in the Lord. Hebrews chapter 5 verse 12. Where the Bible says, for when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and have become such as need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. God's making it clear. He wants us to grow up. He wants us to mature. He wants us to be strong. Strong in the Lord. And then he finishes in verse 14 of our passage, 1 John 2:14. I write unto you that because the word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. We already read, why do we overcome the wicked one? Because we trust Jesus. He's saying here, another reason why we know we overcome the wicked one is because the word of God abides in us. Now this is a choice. Go to John chapter 15, verse 7. This is a conscious effort on our part to make sure that the Word of God is abiding in us. And that requires an effort on our part to be in the Word, to be reading it, to be studying it, and to be memorizing it. Notice John 15, 7. Jesus said a similar truth here. He said, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. So that's an if statement, which means we have an alternative. We have a free will. We can make a decision there. It means it's not automatic. He says, if you abide in me, and if my words abide in you. His words don't abide in us unless we put them there. Amen? Thy word have hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. We've got to put forth the effort to get those words abiding so that we know we have the sword of the Spirit. We know that we have what we need to overcome the wicked one. When Jesus overcame the wicked one in the desert, what did he do? It is written, it is written, it is written. Next week we'll see the three categories of sin in the world, and then we'll see that Jesus was tempted with all three of those: lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And in every case, how did he resist the wicked one? With the Word of God. So what an encouragement to us as Christians. John says, I want you to have assurance. I want you to have this grounding. I want you to know your sins are forgiven. You've overcome the devil already. That you know Jesus Christ as your friend. I want you to be strong, and I want the Word of God to abide in you. That is God's will for every believer, that we be strong in the Lord and that the Word of God abide in us, so that when the wicked one does come, we're ready. We're ready to use that sword. So John saying, I wrote my word to be a help and a blessing. I wrote this epistle. He says that you may know some things. You may know that you have eternal life, that you may know your sins are forgiven, that you may know that you've overcome the devil, that you may know that you know Jesus. And I want you to be strong. I want you to have the Word of God abiding in you. So, Lord willing, we'll put these things into practice. We will get that Word into our lives, and we will let it abide, and we will do our best to be reliant on God no matter what, that we might be strong in the Lord. I mean, is God strong enough? Of course. So it falls on us to rely on Him 100%. The strength is there. So, I write unto you because, He says,